Chapter number 5, and we'll be there, and then we'll go over to the book of Hebrews and the book of 2 Timothy as well. But Luke chapter number 5, the Lord gave me a message, I believe, that will help you as it has helped me. Help him, Dad, help him. That boy's backpack dragging the ground. Amen. Good to see everyone in church again this morning. Again, if this is your first time here, we certainly want you to know you're welcome, and we're very thankful that you chose to be with us today. Congratulations to all of you who had graduates. We're very thankful that you allowed us to honor your children. It is an honor to be able to do so. I appreciate that. I appreciate your children's faithfulness, and keep doing good. Keep serving the Lord and keep raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we have some Bible promises for that. You know, we train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, the Bible says he will not depart. And I'm so thankful for that promise. You know, we've all probably had our share of wayward times. I know I certainly have. I'm no perfect individual standing before you today. But I'm thankful that God's promises are true. And I want to help you today with kind of sort of just that subject, but the Lord put this on my heart today. So you say you love the Bible. I think all of us would say we love the Bible, and all God's people said. But here's the reality. When you love something, you're going to commit yourself to it. It's kind of like committing yourself to your wife. If you love her, there'll not be anything that'll come between you and her, and all God's men said. And if you love your husband, if you actually genuinely love him, ladies, there'll be nothing more important than what your husband has to say. But if you love the Bible, here's the reality. There'll be nothing more important than what the Bible has to say to you. If you love it. The Bible says if you love him, or if you love me, keep my commandments. So today I want to preach this message and just try to relay what the Lord has given me. So you say you love the Bible. Heavenly Father, I ask you this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now you just come down and cover this place with your blood. Lord, we ask you to bind the devil off this place today, off the minds and hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of my voice, whether they're here or online listening. Lord, I just ask you to, as we read your word this morning, that all the distractions will go away. And Lord, help us understand that if we're going to love the Bible, we have to understand that there's some things we got to apply to ourselves and our lives. And Lord, we might not like every single bit of what it says, but just because we don't like it does not mean it's there by accident. Lord, it's on purpose there. We know you inspired it, and I'm so thankful, Lord, you didn't just inspire it, but you preserved it for us to have a copy of. Lord, now this morning, may we learn to love your word and learn to live by your word. Lord, cleanse me of sin now, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit this morning. Allow me to relay a message, Lord, that you've given me. And Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you, God, I pray today, Holy Spirit, you do your job and you'll convict them, Lord, and they'll listen to you and that they'll be saved. And Lord, know that they can be saved for all eternity. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, we'll read just a few verses here in Luke chapter 5. And if you want to find your place in 2 Timothy, we'll be going there as well in Hebrews chapter 4. So we'll lay some groundwork here. Luke chapter 5. Verse 1 through 5, the Bible says this, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And you know the rest of the story. Jesus spoke something. They had been out all night fishing. They had caught nothing. We're not preaching on this today, but I want to help you understand the importance of God's word. And when God says something, listen, we ought to be in submission to God's word. It ought not be what Pastor Drew thinks or what such and such thinks. It ought to be what thus saith the Lord. That ought to be the final authority for each and every man, woman, boy, and girl in here this morning, if you are a child of God, you are only a child of God, not because you did anything, but believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved you. That's the reason you're a child of God this morning. You did nothing. You're not good enough for God. I'm not good enough for God. Jesus was good enough for God. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you and I had the opportunity to be saved for all of eternity. And I think because of that, the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 12, it is our reasonable service to present our body a living sacrifice. Meaning this, God, whatever you want me to do, I am going to be willing to do it. My flesh may not like what you want me to do, God, but because I know your son Jesus' flesh didn't like what he had to do. Everybody okay with that? His flesh didn't like that. Your flesh wouldn't have liked it either. But because he did that for me, I'm going to turn around and return the favor. I'm saved. Now, God, I belong to you. I don't belong to the devil. I don't belong to the world. I don't belong to any man, any woman, any boy or girl. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever you ask me to do, that's what I want to do. So I'll ask you this morning, do you love your Bible? Again, I dare say there ain't anyone in here that would say, I don't love my Bible. And you might like your Bible. Some of you may love your Bible, but I've learned this. If I love God, I'm going to have to keep His commandments. That's what the Bible says. You see, number one, the pressing of the people in verse number one. The Bible says it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to what? Hear the Word of God. These people had a heart's desire to hear the Word of God. I'll ask you this morning, how many of you can honestly say you desire to hear the Word of God preached? Not because you're in church on Sunday or Sunday night or Wednesday night or Bible study or whatever it may be, but I'm talking about that's not enough for you to make it. These people desired to hear the Word of God preached. When's the last time you weren't around in a church service or even at church and you said, you know what? I really wish I could hear some preaching. I really wish that I could just open up the Word of God and that God would show me something. Have you ever had a desire for the Word of God in your life? Not by habit either. I'm not talking about, oh, I read my couple of verses. I got my Bible reading in for the day. I'm talking about God showed me something. You know, even David talked about that fresh anointing. Hey, we can't keep borrowing from yesterday's blessings and expect to make it. Everybody needs a fresh anointing. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Hey, and if you're sitting here today and you think, I don't need to say that prayer, you're crazy. Every one of us could stand to have a clean heart every now and then. Myself included. Listen, I am a sinner. I'm a sinner. I stray away from God. Not once has God ever strayed away from me. Y'all okay with that? We are all in need of a fresh anointing. A fresh anointing for what? You mean to get re-saved? No. If you're saved, you're still saved. But you need to restore, the Bible says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Remember how excited you were when you got saved. What happened to be exciting? What happened to you being excited about being a child of God? Why are the things of God so dull and so numb to you? Well, it's because you don't love the Word of God. It's because the Word of God, you don't desire it. Hey, these people here, they couldn't get enough. How is your desire this morning for the Word of God? How do you feel when you've missed your time with God? Many of us have schedules. You know, when I was in Bible college, we had this teacher, and I don't know how he did it, but He made us fill out a planner every day. And I hate planning. You know why? Because it never works. Something always comes up. It doesn't matter. And usually it's stuff that I can't control. But every day he made us fill out this planner. And I'm like, and listen, he was one of these guys. He had a planner. I'm talking about, I don't know how he stuck to the schedule. But if he didn't, it drove him nuts. You ever met somebody like that? If their plans get messed up, whoa, I mean, he was like, whoa, my planner. My planner says I have to be here at 8 o'clock and I have to leave here at 8:30. If I don't leave here at 8:30, my cup of coffee is going to be warm by 8 or cold by 8:40. That kind of guy. And messed his whole day up. But, you know, some of you may have a plan that or a certain time every day that you spend with God. And maybe that plan gets interrupted. And let me tell you this. It'll get interrupted one time and pretty soon you'll snap your finger and it'll be 10 times that it's been interrupted and you'll not think anything about it. You know, that's how the devil wants it to be. How does it affect you when your time of God or your time with God is messed up? Does the Word of God even do anything for you? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, or of soul and spirit in the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Can I say this morning? The whole Word of God should matter to us as Christians. Not just the part that we like. We asked these kids this morning, what's your favorite verse? We all have favorite verses. Everybody loves Philippians 4:13. I love that verse too. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And hey, if you don't realize that's where your real strength comes from, then you need to rethink that a little bit. We love the verses, but God, you know, for God works all things together for good to them that love God and who are called according to His purpose. For God so loved the world. We love those verses. But what about the part where it talks about reproving and rebuking and exhorting and with all long suffering and doctrine, and where it talks about the Word of God being profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness? Hey, that's when we start having a problem with the Word of God. When the Word of God starts having a problem with us. Who's got the real problem? God don't have the problem. Y'all okay? Hey, we are the ones that are supposed to be living up to His standard. He is not coming down to our standard. I hate to tell you that. He's not going to change who He is. He said that right in His Bible. The same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not going to change His Word. I know there's people out there who are dumb enough to go rewrite another version and call it the Bible. That's their own stupidity. God told them what's going to happen to them. You better read your Bible. Quit messing with God's Word. It's fine. It still works. It's still alive. It's still real. It's still true. And it's still going to be the final authority. It's still going to be those 66 books are going to be the ones that you'll be judged by one day. Not your liberal version that you think you ought to live by that, you know, promotes your sin and tells you that your sin's okay. Well, my Bible don't say I can't do this. I had a guy tell me the other day, tell me where smoking marijuana is wrong in the Bible. I said, man, are you all right? I said, you're coughing every 5 seconds. Why? Oh, I ain't hurting my... ain't hurting my lungs. It don't say I can't smoke marijuana in the Bible. No, but it said your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost of God and not to defile it. You know, you put stuff in that hurts you. It's just, the Bible don't say a lot of things. But God gave us all one thing, common sense. Don't take the Word of God out of context. Can I say this? We cannot sit and decide what part of the Word of God is for us. Everybody all right? We must understand that God's Word has many benefits in our lives. Go with me to the book of 2 Timothy this morning, if you will, please. 2 Timothy this morning. So you think you love the Bible. Second Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17. And before we read this, I want to clarify something that I had to learn the hard way. I'm not above the Bible. Everybody okay with that? I don't, and you're not either. Not a single one of us here, no matter what we do, what we've done, where we've been, what our name is, what we got, who we know, hey, none of us are above God. God has a standard. And by the way, what is the problem with living for God? Why do we not want to live for God? But the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is what, church? Given by inspiration of God and is, what's the next word? You ought to underline that P word. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How can I be perfect? Well, you're not ever going to be perfect on this side of heaven, okay? But here's how you can try. You can understand this verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Let's talk about the doctrine part. What does doctrine do? Well, it helps us understand our beliefs. You know, everybody in here says, I believe this, I believe that. Well, many of us cannot even tell each other why we believe what we believe. Excuse me. Why do you know why you believe what you believe? I can tell you this, Brother Scott, the first time I heard that I should not be reading or studying out of any other version of the Bible other than the King James Bible, I was about 16 years old when I heard that for the very first time. And I'm going to tell you what I thought. What a fool. Who would say something like that? The same thing most of you think about me when I say it. But here's what had to happen. I started saying, you know, this seems to be pretty important to this preacher. So I might as well just get on board. But then I found the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 15 where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. When I found that, Brother Scott, I began to study the Bible, the King James Bible, and I began to, he asked me a question. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a month, 30 days to find an error in the Bible. 30 days to find something in there that is a lie. 30 days to prove it wrong. Well, after 30 days, Miss Janet, I couldn't find a single error. After 6 months, I couldn't find an error. Hey, after 18 years, I still haven't found an error. I still haven't found anything wrong with the Word of God. And I began to study it to show myself. And so naturally what I started doing, I'm saying, okay, why are there so many other versions of the Bible? Well, one, that's an inaccurate statement. There's only one version of the Bible. Everybody okay? Only one. That's the King James Bible. Only one that's preserved and inspired and infallible and without error. And that's God's Word. That's the one we'll be judged on. We're all English-speaking people, okay? That's what I think you are. If you're bilingual, that's good too. But listen, there's only one version of the Bible. So what I started doing is I would take those other versions. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe you can find some truth in those things. But the Bible says all Scripture is given. And if I have a copy of something that's missing some of the original that's been preserved to me, then I don't have all the Scripture. Everybody see what I'm saying here? Or if I have a copy of something that's added to the Scripture, then I don't have all the Scripture. I have a false document. And so I started comparing. I'm thinking, okay, here's one that I love to use. Man shall not live by bread alone. Your King James Bible goes on to say after the comma, but by every word of God. Or but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There are versions there that just say, man shall not live by bread alone. Why would they stop there? It don't take a dummy to figure this one out, y'all. Here's why they stop. Because they want you to live by whatever you want to live by. They take away the deity of Jesus Christ and His Word. But it's the same thing. No, it's not. Do you love the Bible? Then you'll be okay with 2 Timothy 3 where it says all Scripture is given. And please don't get me wrong. I'm not King James ugly, but I'm King James only. But I want to help you this morning. It's profitable for doctrine. It helps us understand our beliefs and why we believe what we believe. Many people you'll ask, oh, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist right there. They messed up because they lied because they don't live by that Bible. They might be an independent Baptist, but a fundamental Baptist believes the King James Bible. And you'll say, why do you believe the King James? Oh, that's all I've ever read. That ain't a good reason to believe it. You ought to know why you believe what you believe. That question ought not back you up in a corner. and get you nervous. Study the Word of God and know why you believe what you believe. Hey, if all you know is what you've been told, you don't know much. Study for yourself. Hey, God has something for you in this Bible. And it is amazing. It helps us understand our beliefs and why we believe what we believe. You ought to know why you believe that. The reason you believe is because God's Word says so. Hey, how many times have you ever argued God's Word? Maybe you'd say, I'd never contradict. Listen, every time we choose to serve the flesh versus the Holy Spirit of God, we're arguing the Bible. Are we not? We're sowing to the flesh corruption instead of sowing to the Spirit and reaping life everlasting. What else is it profitable for? Reproof and correction. Now, this is where people get upset. Nobody likes to be reproved or corrected. I don't. Do you? Nobody likes to be told what to do. But here's the deal. It's not the men and women and the Sunday school teachers and the youth pastors and the evangelists and the missionaries that are standing up telling you what to do. They're just relaying a message. Hey, we were talking this morning about favorite Bible characters. And, you know, Peter, he's one of my favorite. But I really like Paul, too. I was thinking to myself, Paul, the local church today would take about 10 minutes of Paul and they'd never ask him to come back because he'd just be too mean. Y'all ever read what he wrote? Man, you talk about getting called out. You better not do anything wrong. It's reported unto me. And here he is standing in the pulpit, ripping them up one side and down the other. Hey, he's preaching the Word of God to them. Hey, but what saved your soul? It was the conviction from the preaching of the Word of God. You know, Paul wasn't the kind of preacher that stood up and said, yeah, go ahead, live in that fornication. Man, do what the flesh feels good. You husbands and wives cheating on each other, keep it up. God don't care. You're under grace. That's a lie straight out of hell. God cares about one man, one woman in one lifetime. That's His plan. I didn't see Adam get divorced. Matter of fact, I didn't even see Adam get to choose. Old boy went to sleep. I like that. There's a joke. Adam fell asleep one time and Eve started counting his ribs to make sure there wasn't another woman in his life. Hey, listen, we live in a day and age where there's too much sin accepted in this world. God's Word is against sin. God still hates sin. Sin is the reason that Jesus Christ had to conquer death and hell so that you and I didn't have to. By the way, we never would have been able to conquer it. We just would have spent an eternity there. It's profitable for reproof and correction. We can use the Bible to help us understand when we're wrong. You ever read the Word of God and maybe you're on your own or you're listening to preaching or a song's being sang that's spiritual and tears begin to flow down your face and you think how unworthy I really am. Why do I still choose to live in a life of sin? And you know where those tears come from? It ain't no emotional feeling. It's that Holy Spirit of God that you inherited at salvation that's convicting you saying, hey, turn from your sin. Turn from your wicked way. What you're doing is against the Bible. What you're doing is against me. Hey, I love those feelings. And I'm thankful they'll never go away. But what do you do when those feelings come? If our life is not lining up with the Word of God, it is not right to get upset at God and others because the Bible is exposing your carnal lifestyle. That's its job. Hey, the Bible is the thing that I read when it said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible is what I read when it said, for the wages of sin is death. Oh, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's the Bible. Those are the verses that we read when we realized we were just a lost, worthless sinner headed for a devil's hell and an eternal lake of fire someday where the worm dieth not. Their worm dieth not. Hey, big study. I'm studying that out now, by the way. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched.
It's the Bible that teaches us that we're sinners in need of a Savior. It's the Bible that teaches us that three Hebrew boys went into a burning fiery furnace because they would not bow to the man. And God was in that furnace with them. That old wicked king Nebuchadnezzar said, "Hey, I know we threw three of them in there, but there's four in there, and that looks like the Son of God." Hey, it's the Bible when we read about Noah building the ark in a place that had never seen rain before. It's the Bible when we read about Cain and Abel's sacrifice. It's the Bible when we read about Jesus raising the dead and making the blind to see. It's the Bible when we see him show up 4 days late to a tomb where Lazarus had been. He said, "He stinketh." He said, "He's dead. He's been dead 4 days. Lord, if you'd been here, he'd still be alive." Oh, but Jesus rose him up. That's the Bible. We love that part of the Bible. But when it exposes our sin, that's when we have an issue. That's when you know you don't really love the Bible like you say you do. See, the Bible's never going to stop doing its job, just a heads up. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's its job. It's not right to get upset when it exposes us. There's been plenty of times growing up as a teenager and even a young man, I sit in church services and I'd sit there with my arms crossed looking at the floor because the preacher's preaching at me again. And preacher don't know more what I'm doing than Adam does. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But all the while, sitting there like, "I don't know, he must have been looking in my window this week. He must have talked to my wife. He must have been talking to my kids. He must have been spying on me." Hey, let me give you a heads up. God's spying on you. And I'm thankful we have a God in heaven who exposes darkness and makes everything light. Everybody all right? Don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at God. The Bible's profitable for correction. How about this? When our kids do wrong, what do? We correct them. Why do we correct our kids? Somebody tell me. Why? To lead them up so that they understand that, hey, this is bad. There's repercussions for you doing bad. And then when they learn the lesson, you smile and you say, "Hey, I remember last time you were about to do that. This time you thought about it." I can remember getting some whoopings growing up, and I mean, I'd hated it when the words came out of her mouth. She'd say something like this: "You will remember this the next time you go for it." I knew it was going to be on then. It was bad. Bad news. And hey, she was right. The next time I thought about doing that, I thought about the repercussion. This is going to be terrible if I choose to do this again. Hey, then we like it when our kids learn lessons. How many don't like that? We love it when our kids see, okay, listen, we love you. We're not mad at you. We don't hate you. But we love you so much that we want to protect you. Hey, that's what God's trying to do for us. Why do we get mad at him? Why do we get mad at him? After all, he's just doing his job. Most of us just act like we're never wrong about anything. You ever met someone like that? Know-it-alls. They can't be wrong. Folks, listen, compared to this right here, we are wrong. We do not uphold the God standard. I do not. Maybe you do. Maybe the world will end if God took you out of here. Maybe everything would fall apart if you weren't on the planet. But I know this. Long after I'm gone, God's still going to be doing his job. God's going to have another man to fill the gap. He always does. Hey, you know what? All you need to do to be used of God is just be willing. And God will use anybody. God will use anybody. Most of us act like we're never wrong. No one or nothing is going to correct us and tell us we are wrong. Folks, you got a rude awakening coming if that's your spirit. Because I'm telling you, when you look into the eyes of Almighty God and you say, "Aren't you glad you had me on earth? And he's going to say, no, that's why you're here now. That's why your time down there is done. Hey, I just assume try to obey God while I'm here. Because our excuses aren't going to work there. You understand what I'm saying? He's given us a standard, and it's not up to us to change the standard. It's the job of the Word of God to reprove and correct. And then the Bible goes on to say it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. And we're almost done. What does this mean? Well, it means training and guidance in what is morally right and just in a spiritual context. Being an obedient and happy Christian, always full of joy, is so much more rewarding than a Christian who finds something wrong all the time. And let me tell you, you say, well, preacher, I just don't know what to do about that. I like to complain. Listen, get involved. Because look, if you're involved in something, you ain't going to want someone contradicting everything you're trying to do if you're trying to just serve the Lord. Everybody all right? Is everybody okay? Listen, if you're involved with something, no one likes to be contradicted. Now listen, there are times when we are wrong. The Bible will show us that. And it will instruct us in righteousness. Hey, whatever happened to your joy of just serving the Lord? Whatever happened to a Christian's life being filled with joy? Listen, we as Christians ought to be the happiest people on the planet. All the time. Why? Because we cannot go to hell if you're saved. If you're saved. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I've been baptized for years. You're not saved if you think that baptism water saved you. How could you say that? Because it's true. That didn't save you. Baptism ain't ever saved nobody. Hello? Believe. That's what saves you. Faith. A Christian who always finds something to complain about or living contrary to God's word is a Christian that is not a happy Christian. Listen, God's people ought to be cheerful. I promise you, walking back in the day, if you took a journey back and you were to live in the disciples' day, and Jesus walked by you, he wouldn't be the kind of guy that you'd want to avoid. Y'all with me? Jesus would be the kind of guy that everyone would want to be around. He uplifted people, quite literally, from the dead. He spit on the ground and wiped their eyes and made them see. There was a time when they were using his house as a den of thieves and he came in and reaped some havoc there, which he should have. But Jesus was the kind of guy that would smile, bear all the infirmities of the weak around him, and still choose the death of the cross. What about you? What about me? Miss Barb, if you'll come to the piano this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed this morning, listen.